All right, thank you for that. Leave your Bibles open to Luke chapter 5. We're going to go through that this morning. And I have to put my phone out. We're still under construction up there. And so, by the way, thank you, Allison, my daughter. She just asked me what I want for lunch. No. Espy's back. Espy and the baby. Where's Espy? Your brother Chim, you're not Espy. Great to have you. They just had their baby too. Let's give them a hand. Great. We got to get that clock fixed. We're getting our balcony. I think they're pretty much done with it, installing the lights and finishing the last part of the building. And so the balcony, really, once those lights are, the last couple lights are in, the balcony's complete. It's got everything it needs. And so we are going forward with that. But I can't see the clock, but I will look at my phone every now and then just to make sure that we get out of here at a good time. Because I realized something a long time ago. I cannot compete with lunch, okay? And so make sure you get there. Of course, our theme this year is desiring growth. Our goal is for us as not a church necessarily, but as individuals, to make sure we have a faith that is growing. And of course, if our faith is going to grow, it has to be because we want it to grow and we desire it to grow. And so that's what we have been going through, just some themes and so forth that are part of growing. When a person grows in an area, they become more proficient at something. If you work somewhere, right, you get a job and maybe you have tasks you need to do, and at first maybe it's a little daunting and you don't get it, but after several years of doing it and so forth, you get more proficient at it and you can accomplish more and you can do more and you're more committed to your work and what you are doing. I remember when we had our last child, Emily, we were not novices, okay? We had her later on in life. I think my wife was 41 when she delivered Emily. The doctor told us we couldn't have children anymore. He lied. And but our oldest at that time was Jessica. She's 20. And so we had 7 kids, and we hadn't had one in 7 years, but, you know, we were not new at this. We're not novices. And I remember we were out at the hospital at Fountain Valley, and I was in, my wife had the baby, and I was sitting in there with her, and you know, I'm holding the baby, and I looked across to the room, across the hallway from me, and it was obviously a couple that was their first child, right? And the guy is sitting there, and you know, a little plastic tub thing they have the baby in, and he goes up to the baby, and it's like his first time. He's like, how do I pick this thing up? He was afraid he was going to break it. So I yelled to him and said, hey, look over here. You can spin them on your finger, you know? I mean, I know how to pick them up. I can do that in my sleep. And so as we grow, we're more proficient, and we know what we're doing. We're a little more committed to things. Part of being proficient comes from progressing through stages. I went through that first stage with Jessica, and like, you know, am I going to break her head, you know, because her head's all like all this stuff. I figured it out. So now we'll come back to that in a minute. Some Bible stories, as we read this one this morning, you could really preach a whole series on using the exact same story. About 6 months ago, I used this text, and I used this text to preach from a little different angle. Usually, I know what my messages are early on, and to be honest with you, it's not because I didn't have messages, but Friday morning, as I was reading this passage, something just hit me from it, and I thought, you know what, that would go with our theme, so I chucked everything, and like, we're going to go with this morning, because I think it's very, very important. But I want to hit this story from a different angle than we hit it last time. The timing of this story is, it's very early in Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus comes and he's going to talk to a crowd, so he makes a small request to Peter. The crowd was on the shore and Jesus could not really see them very well or speak to them very well. And so Peter had his ship out there and Jesus gets in the ship and said, can you just go a little bit out from the land? Not far, just a little bit, so it's easier for the crowd to see me and easier for me to talk to them. Peter does that. Jesus speaks to the crowd. Then after he's done, he turns and focuses on Peter as an individual. He now makes a second request. He tells Peter, after using his boat to talk to him, he goes, why don't you take your boat, launch out into the deep? Let your nets down and you're going to get a lot of fish. Well, Peter explains to Jesus that he had just got done from doing that all night, and they hadn't caught anything. But Jesus asked him to do this, and he says, fine, I'll go farther from the shore. And he does, and he goes out, and he gets a great deal of fish. They come back to the shore. In fact, Peter needs help with his buddies, and they're astonished at how many fish they got, because that was not the optimal time to go fishing. They had caught nothing the night before, and they realized that this was not something that was normal. And as they come back to the shore and they're all astonished, Jesus makes a request to them in the form of a statement. He says, you know what? I want you to come with me and you'll catch men. And the Bible tells us they forsook everything and they follow Jesus from that time on. Now, here's a question. How is that related to our theme of desiring growth? We think of growth strictly from the standpoint of learning the Word of God, being more accomplished or proficient in our faith, and taking a steps of obedience and action. And by the way, all of that is true. If we don't take any of those steps, if we're not growing in our walk with God, if we're not being proficient, it's probably a better word would be wise, taking the Word of God and putting it in our life and making it a practice in our life. All that's true. But here's the point for this morning. I can make the point, we'll just go home. I'm kidding about that. Growth is not just in the area of greater Bible knowledge. Here's the key. Growth is also an area of commitment. Commitment. You see, if we grow in one of these areas, it will spur growth in the other. A growth in our faith, a growth in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will naturally lead us, if we follow it, to a growth of commitment in our life. And a lack of growth will stifle that commitment. In other words, if we do not grow in our commitment level, we will eventually stop growing in our understanding, knowledge in the Word of God. And in the faith. If spiritual growth does not lead us to a deeper spiritual commitment, then let me say this, and I'm saying it kindly, then we're not growing spiritually. Not growing spiritually. As I was a new Christian and I made the commitment to start to grow in my faith, as I went on, I realized that it came with some other commitments that I'm going to have to make in my life if I'm going to continue to go on. And I was willing to make those commitments. Now, some of them took a little bit longer than others and probably a little bit longer than it should, but I got to that place where I started making some of those commitments. So let me make this real blunt. When we say growing in the faith, we also mean growing in commitment. The more you grow as a Christian, the more committed you will be. By the way, Christianity will never be successful, and maybe that's not the right term, will never be successful in your lives if it's not backed up with some type of commitment to what we are learning. Amen. Now, with all of that as a backdrop, looking at the clock, we're doing good. With all of that, by the way, don't text me, okay? Whenever I say, hey, I look at my phone in church, Dave Lucero calls me. By the way, David's on silence. So with that as a backdrop, in this story, what I noticed when I was reading through there on Friday, there were three levels of commitments that Jesus brought Peter through. Each one took him a little deeper than the other. And I want us to see that. And these are three levels of commitment that we're going to go through if we're truly going to grow in our faith. First of all, step number one, the first step of commitment is taking little steps of beginning commitment. Look at verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. That was not a big ask, by the way. Sometimes you ask people questions, right? And that's a big ask. George, you did that yesterday. I'm sure you were nervous about it. And looking at you, you should have been. Just kidding. By the way, if you were asking her, you didn't know that she was going to say yes, I'm pretty sure you knew that. But that's a big ask. That's not like, you want to go out to eat? You know, You want to be my Valentine? Do you want a box of chocolates? This is like, will you sign on the dotted line for all of eternity? No, I'll say, till death do you part. Once death do you part, you're free. But Jesus didn't ask for that. Jesus just asked for a small step. Now, by the way, Peter had met him earlier, but Jesus is like, look, I need you. Can you just go a little bit out for that's not even a big deal. That didn't involve any effort, just it was very small, but that was it. By the way, that's a good picture for us because we start growing in our commitment is start taking little steps of commitment in your life after you trust Christ. There's a couple things here that you need to understand. Peter did this with limited understanding. Now, Peter had met him, but he didn't know a lot about him. But he probably had heard about Jesus Christ, and so he didn't understand all that was involved with it. But hey, you want me to move the ship? I'll listen to you. I'll do what you ask me to do. By the way, there's always small steps to take of commitment. As a brand new 18-year-old, I think I was... No, I was 17, turning 18. Coming out of my lifestyle, I said, yeah, I went to church for a month. That was my first commitment. I said, I'll go. My brother had been saved, and he was serving God. And I'm like, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to just go on Sunday mornings every Sunday. Got my mom involved. She would go with me. We went for 4 weeks. That's all it took. After 4 weeks, I'm like, okay, I've got to take another step of commitment. I don't want to just play church. And so the next step of commitment, I said, I'm going to go to all the services. And I started going to all this. And then certain things started to be added. By the way, there are some things that we should start doing right away as a believer that maybe we don't understand. Baptism. Yeah. Although I had been saved early in high school, I didn't go to church, I didn't serve God, I didn't do any of that. I got in a lot of trouble. But it's funny, as soon as I went back to church, no one talked to me. And I'm like, you know what, I need to get baptized. Yeah. I walked up to them, I said, you know what, I trusted Christ a few years ago. I really don't understand the whole thing, but I know I'm supposed to get baptized. Can I get baptized? And I got baptized. There are certain steps of growth. Take the small steps. As you're growing in your... See, what we want to do sometimes, we feel like we have to understand everything before we start doing it. By the way, here's one area, prayer, right? By the way, nobody goes to prayer and feels like an expert, right? Now, we love God and we want to spend time with him, but sometimes it's like, well, how do you pray? Well, I don't know. How do you talk to your wife, unless you're a lady? You just talk to God. It's okay. God doesn't say, hey, you didn't use the right language here. You didn't get it down. God wants you to talk to him. Now, as you grow in your faith, you're going to be a little more understanding of some things that you should bring into your prayer life. But don't wait until you're an expert. Start going forward. Take those small steps. You may not understand the Bible. Start reading it every day. Yeah. By the way, it is February. Where are we at? Are we in Leviticus or Numbers? Don't let that derail you. Okay? There are some important things in there, but I'm just going to be honest with you. You're not going to understand it the first time you read through it. The first time as I came into church, I'm like, I'm going to read my Bible through. And I got that Bible. When I got to Leviticus, I'm like, what is it with all this fat and kidneys? Okay? Those were the sacrifices. But I get things out of it now because I've read it several more times. But I was taking small steps of commitment. I committed to God's word. Then even though he had a limited understanding, he had a lively obedience. He didn't say anything. Jesus said, take the ship out. He just did it. Yeah. By the way, that's one thing I like about a person that's newly saved. They're just like, okay, I'm excited. What do I do? What do I do? And we do it. Sometimes we want to question everything. If it's in the Word of God, we don't question it. I've used this story many times, but it fits here. A lady that came to our church, I think my wife led her to the Lord. She had moved away with her husband many years ago. That she recently passed away in the last year or so with cancer. But she had came, she got saved. And so I'm in my office one day. I wasn't the pastor then. And she was in my Sunday school class. She called me. And she left a voicemail. She goes, hey, Brother Myers, I've been in church now. I heard pastor talk about tithing. I saw that it's in the Bible. I want to do it. Call me back and tell me how. By the way, that kind of call gets a call back right away. If you call and say, hey, I need money, like, I'll have John Farrell call you back. But I like that little phrase. She said, I saw it. It's in the Bible. I want to do it. By the way, her obedience, and she started growing in her faith, led to one day her husband didn't want to come to church and didn't have anything to do with it. Because he saw what happened to her, I was able to go over there one day and win him to the Lord. But she just took those, that's what we do. That first commitment is, I don't know everything. Sometimes it's like we have to be, and don't take this wrong, all or nothing, but we don't even know everything. Just take the steps you know, and God will help you. And there was little hesitation in his life. He just did it. By the way, that's how we should be. Before we move on to the second step, I do want you to understand that this, and I'm not being negative, I'm trying to get us to think today. Do you know very few people who have trusted Christ or claim to have trusted Christ ever get past this level? In fact, sometimes we get stuck on it. I know it took me over 2 years and a lot of drama in my life before I got out of this, before I even started on this level. Very important. The problem with that is Christians want the top level of blessing in their life while living the lowest level of commitment. And by the way, newer Christians, that's where we're at. Let's go with that. That's great. It's the direction you're going, right? It's not where you're at. It's what direction are you going? But let me just say this. The top level of blessing comes at the top level of commitment. So let's not get stuck here. If Peter had not taken this first step of commitment, a willingness to start with these beginning steps, I wonder if he would have ever moved on, quit his job, followed Jesus for 3 years, got rid of everything, and eventually preached Jesus Christ to causing him to be put to death as a martyr. Jesus didn't come to him right off the bat and say, hey, look, Peter, follow me because you're going to be martyred for the faith in a few years. Peter may not have been in on that. But he grew in those steps. What's step number two? Step two of commitment is launching out into the deep with a continued commitment. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now that doesn't seem like a big deal. Like, all right, you went a little bit from the shore so I can stand in your ship and, talk to the crowd. He probably didn't go out very far. He said, now I want you to go out into the deep. Now I want you to go fishing again. By the way, that wasn't a small thing. He didn't have his fishing pole there already baited up, right? I like to fish, but I'm not real good. Well, I'm better than some of the guys. So I'll go with brother, whenever I go fishing somewhere, if we just go out of town, I'll take Brother Ross. Brother Ross is the guy. Like, hey, what do you do? What are you putting on here? What's going on? And I'm real careful because we'll go from place to place to place, and I don't want to take time. When I get there, I'm impatient. That's probably why I don't fish a lot. It's like, no, if the fish aren't on the hook right now, we have an issue. And so I'm on the thing there, and what I'll do is, like, we're going to go to another place. I very carefully put the thing on here, and I stick it on there, and I'm like, don't mess it up. So as soon as we get to the first place, I can just jump out, run out there, and cast in the water. I don't have to fix anything, right? We were fishing one time, the last time we went, and the year before I hadn't caught anything. And this time, every time we went to this one place, every time I threw it in, I was catching something. And I had a treble hook, like three of them. And one of them broke off, and I'm like, forget it, I'm catching them. I ain't got time to do that. Impatient, but I it's just right away. And so Peter's like, look, it wasn't that quick. I mean, going out there, taking the nets out, throwing it overboard. Now, he didn't throw all of them like he should have. That was a lot of effort and energy, especially after he had done it all night and was tired, and especially since he'd already done it and he hadn't caught anything. So that required a little more level of commitment, and he took it. Probably, let me make this statement. The reason most Christians will not make the commitment in small steps of growth is because they know it's going to lead to more steps of growth. It always does. And it leads to a deeper commitment. That first commitment took him to a greater commitment. As we commit to making growth a part of our life and taking those steps, we have to understand we're headed to another level of commitment. And the key word in this commitment is this word. Ready? More. More. It takes more. Sometimes, you know, we're eating something and my wife will like, how did that taste? I'm like, it tasted like more. That means the plate's empty, load the bad boy up and let's go. But it takes more. If you're taking steps of growth, you will naturally become more committed, right? We'll pick on George again. George and them will eventually get married if she keeps her eyes closed. And they're in love, and they'll have the honeymoon, and they're committed to each other. But can I just tell you something? If you grow in your marriage and you work on your marriage, 10, 20 years out, you have a deeper commitment to your marriage than you ever could have imagined when you were first married. That's how it works. The more you're serving God, I got saved and it was all exciting and woohoo, it's still exciting, but I'm not, you know, it's not that first excitement because I didn't understand anything. I'm still excited about it and I'm more committed to Jesus Christ. When we were in Bible college, the freshmen would come in, right? And they would be all excited, woo, 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 woo. And we used to call it freshman fire because 50% of them wouldn't be there the second year. I remember all these guys were all excited and someone got on the bus and the guy goes, hey, all you freshmen are excited. He goes, you won't even be here next year. Okay. Maybe we weren't jumping around like when we first got there. We were more committed to what we were doing. There needs to be a commitment. It will naturally grow. It led to more labor. Look at verse 5. And Simon Peter answered him, said, Master, we have toiled all night. That's his way of saying, we just read this book. We just saw this movie. We were up all night. But it's going to take a little more effort. See, the more you get into Christianity, the better it is, but it also takes a little more effort. You've got to be willing to labor to learn the Word of God. It takes more effort. Look, the world's not getting better. It's getting worse. And we're going to have to make a decision whether we're going to be committed to Christ and be serious or we're going to play games. Commitment. Labor means effort. It takes more commitment. By the way, it takes effort to be faithful. And by the way, anybody can be faithful. But you know something always comes up? It's funny. Sometimes when you become a new Christian, you get all excited about church. Before, you had nothing going on Sunday. Now, all of a sudden, everybody wants stuff on Sunday. Grandma calls, and let's go to little Junior's birthday party. Now I go to church. I'll go to the party after church. Things always come up. By the way, I got to say this publicly. Thank you for being at church last Sunday night. If you guys weren't here, the Rams would have lost. Okay, we didn't cancel church because it was a Super Bowl, because I wanted the Rams to win. Okay, by the way, I was watching the game. I told you, just record the game and watch it, right? Our family went home. No one knew the score. You knew it was a really tight game. My son was getting stressed. Usually I get stressed. But thank you, Troy. You helped me. I purposely wasn't looking at my phone, and I accidentally looked at your text. And Troy said, we did it. Now, I didn't know the score, so my son's like, they're going to lose again. I'm like, you know what? I just have a feeling. Have faith. Okay? I didn't know how they won. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew it was over, okay? So other than that, I would have been, like, suicidal, too, myself. But be faithful. You know, it's funny. It takes effort to have your devotions. And it's not that hard. You know why there's effort? Because you got a spiritual enemy. And they're going to throw everything at you. You're busy this morning. You got up late. All these different things. But you got to fight through that. Takes effort to change. By the way, it does take change, right? We learn the Word of God, as we've been talking about on Sunday nights. And when you grow, it naturally means there's changes that will come in your life. It takes more faith. Look at verse 5. He said, we toiled all night. And he goes, and have taken nothing. But the reason that statement isn't too bad, because of what he says next. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He goes, but you know what? It doesn't make sense to me. We just got back from there. We didn't catch anything. But you know what? You said this. I'm going to do it. That takes faith, by the way, right? That was, again, as I'm saying, that was a lot of effort. We grow in faith. Like anything else, faith grows. The things that God will have you do or that you will go through later on in your life, it may have been hard for you to go through or to attain early in your Christianity, but you're growing your faith. You see God do something. You pray. Remember very early on, you know, when I went to Bible college, I'd only been to church like a year, maybe less than a year. And I didn't go to church before that at all. I knew nothing. I go to Bible college and And I go to Indiana where it's freezing. I'm a California kid. I was born 10 blocks from here and I lived here my whole life. Freezing for me is anything low 50s. And I go there and I didn't have the right clothes. And I heard a Bible college professor, he said, you know what? He goes, I went to Bible college and I wanted God to be real in my life, so I prayed. He goes, I asked God specifically, I need some suit coats and I need a jacket. Now, I had a jacket. It was a down jacket. How many remember those? By the way, a down jacket doesn't work when it's 10 below zero with the wind chill. It just doesn't. How do you know? I found out. And I heard him say that, and I'm like, I'm going to try that. I need a winter jacket. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, if it works for him, can I get some winter jackets? 2 days later, someone came and said, hey, I got some extra jackets. Would you like them? That encouraged my faith. And by the way, I needed that later when school bills started coming. Amen? Lord, I need money for my school bill. He's like, no, you got a jacket. Work on the other thing yourself. Just kidding. So we grow in our faith, more faith. And I like this, more fruit. Look at verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, I won't get into the fact that Jesus said, throw all your nets in, and he only threw one. But can I just tell you something? That's more than he got earlier. See, we want the high level of Christianity, the high results of Christianity with the low level of commitment. Can I just tell you something? It doesn't work. Now, God blesses you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be, you know, off base here. But you know what? The more you're committed to God, the more fruit there is, the better things are. If you're a new Christian, you think Jesus is serving Jesus is wonderful now, come back in 5 years. Come back in 5 years. It'll be even better. More fruit, the more committed we are. That's why some relationships, I'll just be honest with you. You know, some marriage relationships aren't real good. I'm not thinking of anybody because you're not really committed to it. I can think of a couple times we were counseling with couples and both of them kind of wanted their marriage to work, but neither one of them wanted to put the commitment in. They were waiting for the other one. Remember one couple, my wife helped with the lady, and I'm like, Doc, you take the first step. She'll come on board. You watch. And she's telling my wife, I'm waiting for him to make. I'm willing, but he's got to make the first step. And can I just tell you, neither one of them would do it, and the marriage ended. It just takes, when you're committed to something and you're holy for it, the good stuff comes. Yeah. Will my marriage be perfect? Wake up. If you're a man and she's a woman, no, it's not going to be perfect, but it'll be really good. Yeah. And then the last step, what is this? Step 3. Level of commitment. Leaving all with complete commitment. So Peter, you took me out off the shore for a few feet. Thank you for that. Peter, now you went out into the deep. And you realize if I ask you to do something and I bless your obedience, then he tells them in verse 10. Look at verse 10. And so also was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, he didn't tell him, he didn't ask him, that ask was in the form of a statement. Yeah. Hey, don't worry about this, you're going to catch men now. See, what you did now was, the blessing you received there, that was child's play. Now you're going to serve me wholeheartedly and you're going to get the good stuff. Yeah. That's the commitment. That is wholehearted. I believe that the longer you serve Jesus Christ, the more committed you will be. Absolutely. By the way, how could we not want to be more committed? I've lived long enough, I'm not old, I'm older, but I've lived long enough to see how things go. Yeah. Christians aren't perfect, but I just tell you something, I believe serving God, things will be better. Yeah. Oh, everything will be perfect? Nope. But you know what? It'll be a lot better than going on your own. Oh, yeah. How could you not if you see what God does in your life? After seeing what he's done in the lives of others, you see God do things in other people's lives as well. It's like, look what he can do. Why would we not be more committed to him? Seeing the difference that living for him has over living for the world and myself. By the way, even though I was only 17, I did that. No dad in the house. I did my own thing. I had no authority in my life. I did it all. And you know what? I was miserable as can be. Yeah. Could you imagine if I took that out 10 years? If I was that kind of guy and I actually got married with someone, I would have ruined them. But serving Jesus and following him, it was way better. Whenever we have this type of commitment, we examine ourselves. Look what Peter said in verse 8. After he saw what Jesus did, Simon Peter saw and fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." He said he was thankful for the fish, but he also looked at himself and said, "I got some changes I got to make, Lord. I should have." He knew he didn't throw all the nets out. He knew that in his mind, maybe he was a little bit, even though he did it, we examine ourselves. How do we grow and become what God wants us to be? Because as we follow Jesus and we're committed to him, we look at our lives and like, where can things be better? Where can I serve him? As Brother Chim mentioned, honor. How can I honor him more with my life? That comes with deeper commitment. He also had an excitement for the Savior. They were astonished at everything Jesus did for them. But what did it lead to? Look at verse 11. "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Right. Do you understand? Just a few hours earlier, they got back from an unsuccessful fishing trip. They're pulling the boat to shore. They're done for the day. They're going to go get some rest and pick it up at another time. And a few hours later, they're like, "We're done with fishing. We're done with it. I'm giving it all up, and I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life." And that led him to death as a martyr. What an example of sacrifice. By the way, Jesus isn't telling all of us to forsake everything. Forsake your dog maybe, but also forsake. He's asking us to forsake the things that he tells us to. As we go, look, say, why, you know, I think about, God never told me to be a pastor before I got here. I know this is what he wants me. He's like, "Yeah, I can tell." Okay. But you know what? I just want to serve him. My pastor said, "You know what you need to do?" Because he saw what I was doing, and he's like, "You need to go to Bible college." I didn't even finish high school. I'm like, "You didn't get the memo?" I'm like, "Okay, I'll go to Bible college." You know, I went to Bible college. I thought I could learn more there. And then, "Lord, I'll just do what you want. What do you want me to do?" And God's led me along that path. Look, we all need to be equally committed to Christ. Now, that may play out differently in our lives. But that commitment level, we all ought to be committed. "Lord, whatever you want. Lord, you want me to be a bus driver? I don't know about him, but I'd like you to be." Okay? "You want me to be a bus driver? I'll do it. You want me to sing in the choir? I'll do it. Lord, you want me to help out here? I'll do it. You want me to live a certain way? I'll do it. I'll follow you." By the way, you cannot follow Jesus if you don't forsake some things. There was a whole pile of things in my life that I could not bring along with me on the path of following Christ. So I had to offload some of those. But that's the key commitment. Now let me say this, and we'll be done. Where are you at today? I know I've went through all three of those stages. And I'm not perfect, by the way. And I struggle like you, and I have to fight it. And, you know, you think that, "Oh, I'm committed, and it's going to last forever." No, you got to fight to keep it. Come on, there's things that'll come your way. You may stumble along the path. I get that. But where are you at? You say, "Man, I'm a new believer, and I'm taking those initial steps of growth." Stay with it. That's a good thing. Because it's not necessarily where you are right now. It's what direction are you heading? Because when you're on that road of heading the right direction, those certain commitments are going to come. But where are you at? I wish I could hide it and just say, "Yeah, you know, just come do whatever you want and Jesus will be, it'll all be good." No, he wants us to be committed to him. And the deeper your commitment, the deeper your level of joy in the Lord. If you're going to grow, you have to understand something. There's going to be some commitments you need to make along the way. And by the way, don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Thank you for listening. All of us need to grow. Someone has said that if you quit growing, you start dying, right? Let's keep growing. It's the best. Look, I don't regret anything I've done in following Christ since I made that commitment. I won't tell you how many years ago. It was a while ago. I don't regret it. He's been faithful to me all along the way. There have been times maybe I'm not as faithful to him as I should be, but he's always been faithful. You want to grow? You got to be willing to make the commitments it takes that he'll ask us to take along that path of growth. Before we have the invitation here in a second, I want to ask this one question. It's hard to grow if you haven't been a Christian. If you're not a Christian, the first commitment you need to make is you need to commit your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him as your only Savior. Let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? You say, you know, Pastor, that's me. I'm not quite 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. By the way, when you become a Christian, all doubt leaves. You'll have a biblical reason. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to be sure. Pastor, with nobody looking around, just briefly, Pastor, would you pray for me? If you just lift your hand up real brief, put it down, I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Okay. Let's stand together.